Jay from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren?
Doing all right.
Doing all right,
yeah.
Getting good grades, the future's so bright, ooh, gotta wear shades.
Holy hell, wow, you're coming in, you're the one singing now. I thought I was the musical one with the music chops.
You are. No, I will recite lyrics, but I'm usually too self-conscious to actually sing them.
I see.
Because I am a repressed white boy.
But, wow. I didn't want to bring race into this, but here we are. Okay.
Well, you know, that's just... I'm white. I think it's time that you knew.
What?
Yes. Yes.
This changes the whole dynamic of the show now.
You know on like the artwork for our show, that white guy on the left side...
I don't listen to this.
You see the top of his head?
I don't listen to this podcast.
That's me.
What?
That's me.
Huh.
Yeah.
I may have to unsubscribe.
It's like just to the left of your head.
I'm only looking at myself when
yeah.
I see that.
No, I understand. You're like gazing at the wonder yeah. that is the top half of your head.
I'm like, God damn, I'm a beautiful man.
But
that head is so round.
Yeah. It's round and bulbous.
Oh, wow. Yes. I'm the one that wrote that review. That was me.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. So how'd you do, now that Halloween's over, how'd your Halloween fare, all right?
Halloween was pretty uneventful, personally.
Yeah,
it
same.
Was,
same
yeah.
Z's.
I don't know why I don't get trick-or-treaters at my apartment complex. I never really have. But I picked up, like, a big bag of candy just in case, you know, because you never know. And now I've got this whole thing of mini Kit Kats to
just eat away until Thanksgiving comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's my favorite part of Halloween. Just now, like, after it's all over and you give away the candy, all the leftover candy is there for all of us
yeah.
to eat.
Yeah. What candy did you pick up?
I actually didn't buy any candy. Cause,
you
like,
did not.
Because yeah,
you hate children?
Yeah.
Is
well,
that why?
Yeah, they're... I mean, come on. You yeah. know, they're enough with
no,
them.
I get it. I get
you
it.
You know, they're loud, they smell, and yeah, I yeah. just... They're up to something.
Yeah.
But yeah, like no one really comes to my apartment either for Halloween, so I didn't buy any candy, but like uh-huh. I know, like, usually the day after, like, you know, all the drugstores have candy half off.
You swooped in and you got the discount.
Yeah.
The post-Halloween.
That's my time to strike.
Because there's no demand for candy in early November.
That's
I mean,
right.
That's the rule.
It's easy pickings at that point. You get a whole bunch of Kit Kats and Reese's Pieces. And just stuff your face till you're sick.
Wow.
For pennies on the dollar. Pennies!
So we're both bloated on candy this week is basically, yeah. I think, what we're getting to.
Yes, bloated on candy, but on a sugar rush from the chocolate. So
that's right.
This episode is going to be all over the place.
And this episode, we are talking about season 45, episode 5, from November 2nd, 2019. Kristen Stewart hosting and Coldplay musical guesting.
Yeah!
So... should we dive in?
Let's go in. Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So we had the cold open. We had an Elizabeth Warren town hall in Iowa.
Right.
With Kate McKinnon coming out and doing her Elizabeth Warren. She's basically like trying to rile up the crowd, but she's got the natural energy and demeanor of like an NPR host.
Yes.
So.
And yeah, basically she said she was in her natural habitat, which is a public school on a weekend.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just like a town rally. Oh, sorry, town hall of people, you mm-hmm. know, people asking her questions. One thing I liked when Cecily Strong, she was wearing a Kamala Harris t-shirt saying, mm-hmm. hey, you know, hi, Warren, I work for Kamala Harris's campaign, but I'm still undecided.
Yes, that's a good line. Elizabeth Warren also talked about her health care plan. She says, thank you for bringing up health care. That's my Despacito. I enjoyed that. And then she went into detail about her health care plan.
Right.
And she had a metaphor. She said that, I believe she said, Biden is the dad who takes you to boogie nights when you're 10. I'm the mom who has the long talk with you about what it all means.
Right.
And how Mark Wahlberg's fake penis creates unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, I like this open. I mean, mainly because it's not a Trump open. So, but yeah, this one has some charm in it to it. It was, you know, basically... Kate being
Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, Kate being, yeah. yes, oh yeah. But yeah, it's just Kate doing like a lot of heavy lifting in this one and, you know, carrying it off pretty well.
Yeah, there were some good lines. It seemed honestly almost like an Elizabeth Warren campaign ad at times.
I wouldn't, yeah. Yeah, it did.
I mean, it seemed like it was almost like you should vote for Elizabeth Warren so that Kate can continue doing this impression on SNL.
Yeah, very much. I mean, I hope we're not repeating the whole like a Hillary Clinton thing all over again. But yeah, it did kind of seem like that a little bit. Now you mention it,
But so yeah, well, he also had Alex Mullet asking some questions.
Alex Mullet?
Well, he's growing the hair out in the back. It's in the mullet territory now.
Party in the back.
He's Alex Mullet now.
Oh, wow. I never heard that before.
So, yeah. I liked Cicely asking if she says, I have a follow-up because I'm annoying.
Yeah, nice little quick jabs here and there.
Yeah, yeah. We have Melissa Villasenor asking about like the universal health care again.
I like how she started off her question saying, I'm afraid of doctors and my husband is one, but that's a different issue.
Yeah,
and then
she just
went into like, what?
A quick aside.
Yeah.
A line I really liked was Elizabeth Warren saying, some things are scary until you try them and then you find out that they're great, like sushi or butt stuff. I actually tweeted out, I was like, my notes for the show now include the phrase sushi and butt stuff.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you Google that. Don't do it at work.
No. And then we had Chloe Fineman as a voter who had like an emotional breakdown. They were likening her health insurance to like an abusive boyfriend.
Yes.
Which I thought that was clever. That was good. And Chloe just killed it. I really like her.
Yeah, Chloe, she's growing on me.
She's like her and Bowen Yang, they've both slotted into the show like they've been there for years.
I really appreciate how the show is giving both of them, the newcomers, a lot to do. Not a lot to do, but they're definitely giving them moments. Big moments to shine.
Yeah, yeah. We're not getting the slow ramp up that we get with a lot of new cast members.
Right.
And they
usually a cast member would be like, oh, waiter number two or something like that.
Yeah.
But like now, like with these two cast members, they're really giving them the spotlight.
They feel really well integrated in the cast, which I like.
Very much so.
Next we had the monologue. We had Kristen Stewart coming out. This was her second time hosting, right?
Yes.
Yeah. She hosted before. I don't have the date, but she hosted before.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good episode, as I recall.
It was a pretty good episode, yeah. But this monologue, I don't know. It was short, but I thought it was a little, it wasn't that strong.
We did the tried and true audience questions, but this time they had a twist on it where Kristen was asking the audience members questions about their lives and their personal things. She's trying to really get deep with them, and at one point, one of them just goes, what do you want from me, Kristen Stewart, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, I think she asked one audience member, hey, are you closer to your mom or your dad?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's like, what? Don't ask me that.
it was cute. I think I like the idea of this more than the execution of it.
Yeah, and actually, it was weird, because like after that, they kind of abandoned it, and then they had like Beck and Kyle kind of dressed up as Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, like them saying, oh, hey, what's up? You know, we're cool like you. We're real. Because Kristen Stewart kind of has this very kind of like low energy, kind of aloof vibe.
She's very chill. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like always kind of, I don't know, like a Bailey Gismert type of vibe to her a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Where it's just, she's always like, yeah, hey, you know, I'm Kristen. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
And like kind of mumbly vibe. And like, I guess they were kind of playing off that a little bit.
Yeah. That was a weird thing to kind of stick at the end.
Yeah. It was like the kind of they kind of had like two different people writing two different monologues, and
then they mashed them together.
Yeah,
wasn't bad. It was just kind of quick.
Yeah, it was quick too. And it's like,
not the strongest high energy monologue, but you know that's fine.
Yeah.
And then when we went to the break, we got a trailer for the her new Charlie's Angels movie, which I got to say that I'm just not feeling that thing at all.
I don't think a lot of people.
It looks horrible.
When is it coming out? Is it like? Is it
soon-ish, I guess, sometime in November, maybe? I haven't bothered to look at the release date because
the way
your
voice is getting higher and higher.
Because I'm just like,
coming out
soon-ish. Watched the trailer of that, and I'm just like, okay, the only person I know in this, you know, besides Elizabeth Banks, is Kristen Stewart. I don't know the other two angels at all.
Yeah, me neither.
And like, it looked bad. And it's not like the Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu ones were good.
Yeah, I mean,
those are bad in themselves.
I mean, those were, like, campy kind of...
I mean, yeah, they were campy and they knew it, but, I mean, and this one probably is, too, but it's...
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I did see it in the theater, but just because with my buddy, he was like, you know, oh, hot chick's kicking.
Yeah,
that was the only thing that drew... That
I saw it, and I came out of that first one, it was so disappointing... And it doesn't even reach the level that you wanted a Charlie's Angels movie to reach. I was like mad when I walked out of the theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, just
I was just like, that was bad.
just balled up fists, like.
Yeah, I was very Zoidberg at the end of that. I was just like, that was bad, and you should feel bad.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I kind of knew what it was, and so I went in not totally disappointed, but I was like, it was what it was. Tom Green was in it, and la-di-da.
Yeah.
But this new one, it just, yeah, but like, I don't know, like, who else is in it? Well, I mean, first of all, this movie, the new Charlie's Angels was written and directed by Elizabeth Banks.
Right.
And it has Naomi Scott, who I'm not familiar with, yeah. And Ella Balinska, who I'm not familiar with.
No. Yeah,
that's,
I got nothing.
Digimon Hantu,
isn't Patrick Stewart in this one? Yeah, playing one of the Bosleys?
Yeah, so I guess there's more than one Bosley?
Yeah, they've got multiple Bosleys in this one. Like, because Elizabeth Banks is also playing a Bosley.
Yeah, so I guess in this one, Bosley is like isn't just one person. It's a movement.
We are all Bosley.
We are Bosley.
It's like the end of Spartacus. They all come up. I am Bosley. I am Bosley.
Yes. I guess that's the theme. The new Charlie's Angel. I'm like,
I'm giving it a miss.
Yeah, I don't know. I still haven't seen when it's coming out. But yeah, it didn't. I don't think anybody's like. Cool, a new Charlie's Angels movie.
Yeah, was there anyone clamoring for it at this point?
No one was. No one was clamoring for this at all. And yeah. All right, it's coming out November 15th. But like,
okay, so if you want to see that, go check that out.
Yeah, we've talked it up pretty much. So if you're after our stellar review, you still want to see it.
Yeah.
First sketch, Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter. This was presented like they had an America at War documentary introduction, and it's a Beck as a general who's visiting a factory where all the women are working during the wartime,
right.
And he's looking for a model for recruitment posters. So we have Chloe as Rosie the Riveter,
right.
Dressed up like the iconic We Can Do It poster.
Right.
Then we have Heidi as Donna. She's a shell shiner. She's like, I'm shining up these shells so that the crowds can see them coming.
That's right.
And
doing my effort for the boys.
That's right. I enjoy it whenever people do those mock World War II voices.
Hey there, Charlie.
Where everybody's talking like they're in a 1940s newsreel. Yeah. I enjoy that.
Or like the Canadians in South Park.
Yes.
Hey there, pal.
Are all the Canadians in South Park in World War II newsreels? Oh, my God.
Did we just uncover something?
Oh, wow. I think we did.
Oh, shit.
But then we had, after we have Rosie the River and Donna the Shell Shiner, we have Kristen Stewart, Kate McKinnon, and A.D. Bryant as the slug thumpers who do the heavier work.
Right.
They're
more like dressed down and more.
They're more blue collar. They're cruder and they're in your face. And, right. They offer to be nude in the posters, and he's like, no, we don't need you to be nude.
I think that. Oh, yeah, I think one of them said, that if it helps the boys overseas, I'll take the twins out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an 80 line, I believe.
Yes. And, so, I mean, that's pretty much it. There wasn't too much to this sketch.
I was surprised they were leading off the show with it. It was, I was like, this would have been fine deeper in the show, but at the beginning, a weak start, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, like, because we had the monologue, which was kind of low energy. Then we had this.
Yeah.
At this point, I was thinking, oh, no.
Oh, do we have a bad show in the works? This is...
What's happening here?
I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this.
I got nervous. I'm not going to lie. I got a little nervous.
I was feeling the same way at this point in the show. Next, we had a pre-tape with Kristen Stewart as a woman who doesn't know how to talk to children. So she gets this new app.
Duolingo.
Duolingo. That helps you talk to kids.
Right, because at some point, you're going to, like, all your friends are going to start having kids, and they're going to introduce you to those kids, and then you start to realize, oh, wait, I don't know how to talk to kids.
Yeah, you're awkward because you don't spend time with kids.
Like, do you talk down to them, like, hey there, sport, hey, champ?
Yeah.
Or do you talk to them like they're adults?
Yeah.
I kind of just talk to kids like whatever. It's like, hey there, fellow, what's going on? Like, that's my, I don't talk down to them. Like, they're on my level.
Right.
That's how I think I'm doing it right.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Like, hey there, champ. What you got there, Slim?
Yeah.
What's up there, Slick?
I mean, I'm nervous, like, talking to people to begin with. And when you add the fact of them being kids on top of all that, that's just more social anxiety than I'm able to deal with most times.
Right, because as they say in the commercial, kids are bad conversationalists.
Yes.
Because they don't know how to have a conversation just yet. They're still learning the basics.
They're learning the social mores, the social
stuff. Milieus.
They're,
social stuff.
They're learning how to talk good, like yeah. we like, as yeah. adults do. We adult talk good.
We talk nice, nice.
So,
yeah.
Kids don't know.
Kids no talk good.
No.
Kids talk bad.
Yeah.
Kids talk bad.
But I enjoyed this. I related to this because this is also an issue that I've dealt with.
You don't say.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, because...
This is like the one conversation I have a week.
this is it for the week?
I build up for this for 6 days, and then after we finish recording, I'm spent.
And I'm spent.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's because kids are building up their conversation skills, and they're not very interesting, really.
Yeah.
So you got to be like, hey, that's cool. That's pretty cool there. Like, oh, you had a pizza? That's pretty rad. Yeah, yeah. You got to talk to them like that.
Yeah, but I enjoyed this. This was good.
Yeah, no, I liked the sketch quite a bit.
This was solid.
Yeah, yeah.
This was turning things around a bit. And then after that, we had new paint.
Yes. So basically, the premise is this couple comes over with their new baby to see the man's sister. It's mm-hmm. the guy. It's Kristen Stewart, Beck Bennett, and Aidy Bryan. So they're all going to Beck Bennett's sister's house. You know, the sister is played by Aidy Bryan,
mm-hmm.
and she's going on and on about like her new house, and she painted it in this new paint called Faro and Ball, which is has the house is painting in a new couleur.
Couleur, yes, right. She's pronouncing the U, and she keeps talking about this paint. It comes out that the paint is $110 a gallon.
Yeah,
and they're like, you're a part time daytime bartender. You cannot afford this.
Yeah. So, I kind of liked it because, like, it looked, at first it started off as, like, a commercial for the paint, the Faro and Ball paint.
Yeah.
And she kept saying the word couleur. Oh, look at that couleur.
Yeah.
So, for a minute, I thought, oh, is the whole sketch going to be centered around her pronouncing color, couleur? And then, luckily, it wasn't. It kind of goes off the rails in, like, some other directions.
Yeah, I liked, I thought this was pretty bad overall. It was just kind of this weird, shapeless thing. I didn't see the point of it. I did like at the end when Beck and Aidy are fighting, and then Aidy just says to Beck's wife, "That baby isn't even his.
yeah,
he looks like your trainer."
yeah, that comes out too, where basically they find out that the baby isn't his, and
yeah.
It's like look at the color of that baby's eyes.
Right, right.
And then it just ends with Kristen Stewart and Aidy fighting.
Really bad fake wrestling.
Yeah.
Not really.
yeah. And at one point, Kyle Mooney comes out just wearing a towel saying, hey, can you guys keep it down out here? And then they're like, who is he? And it's like, oh, yeah, we met on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. And that was just a weird random thing. It's like, well, why is that there other than to give Kyle something to do? I don't know.
Show off his manly chest.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. It was interesting, this one.
I also saw the boom mic in the shot.
Right? You did too, right?
Yeah.
I saw that too. I was like, oh.
I was like, oh, that's unusual.
Yeah. So I like the way Aidy was selling. Because like this sketch was all Aidy.
Yeah.
Just making it
She
go.
Had to carry it.
Yeah. She was carrying it, you know, pretty well. I thought this was all right, this one.
But I didn't think it really worked.
You just think it kind of fell apart.
This was like on the bottom of the show for me.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So. Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
So, what do we have next?
Your favorite.
We have Hero Dog press conference, which, okay, it's a C-SPAN press briefing. It starts out with Kate McKinnon as Kellyanne Conway. She says, the White House has not had a formal press briefing in 8 months, which, by the way, I'm just going to say, that is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
That is our new normal. That is fucking nuts.
Wow. John gets political.
I'm just going to insert that right there.
No, it's true. It's just like...
Because it's like, I didn't fact check that, but I am sure that is not an exaggeration.
Reality is just...
And it's like, we accept even just twisted things like that as normal now. That's nuts.
But what about her emails, John? What about her emails, though? Benghazi!
Anyway, we had...
I'm sorry.
And then Kellyanne Conway, she had a funny line. She says, we killed the leader of ISIS, which means that the impeachment can no longer move forward, which...
I don't know the law, but that sounds right.
Mild exaggeration of what the Trump administration is saying.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we're really burying the lead here. We had Cecily Strong with a dog, people.
Da, 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 da.
We had, the show obviously listened to me, like, after Dog Court.
Yeah.
I was like, we need more sketches with Cecily Strong and dogs.
And sure enough.
And then the next new show they do, Cecily Strong with a dog.
Now, is this because they listen to our podcast?
Or is Cecily with a dog just in the zeitgeist right
now?
I don't know.
Is this a coincidence?
I don't know. Maybe.
Are we the new SNL influencers and we have, they listen to us, we have their ear?
I'm going to say yes. Yeah, yeah. I am officially the Cecily Whisperer. But I really like this. I was so excited about... They were just doing another thing with Cecily and the dog. I took hardly any notes on this last night, so I had to rewatch the sketch this morning so I could write down some of the lines.
All the notes you wrote, like just exclamation points.
Yeah, I was just like, I have to tweet about this. This is so exciting. This is so incredible. So we had Conan the Canine Commando, who Cecily was his canine interpreter, and so she's giving all the lines that they're. Reporters are asking the dog questions, and Cecily is translating for the dog.
And it was actual, I guess it was like a German Shepherd or something like that?
Yeah, I believe so.
It was an actual dog up there. And yes. Like, I mean, it looked like she was about to break in a few points because, of course, dogs move around as they do.
I think because, like, later in the sketch, they were dubbing in barks for the dog that were supposedly his answers.
Yeah.
I think maybe they missed the first couple of those, so Cecily had to vamp a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
Because she says, like, that eye blink means this.
I did notice that, too, like, because, like, at one point, like, Kate and Cecily were both waiting for the dog to say something.
Right.
And the dog wasn't saying anything. And it got awkward for a minute. It's like, something's supposed to happen. So, like, then, like...
But it was fine. They kept it going. Yeah. It didn't really damage the sketch. But there were some good lines. She said, this is Cecily speaking for the dog. I do this job for two reasons. One, I love my country and belly rubs. and the first question a reporter asks the dog is, who's a good dog? Who's a good dog? And it's like, please, I'm a trained military assassin, not some basic labradoodle.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think one of the reporters asked the dog, was it scary over there?
Uh-huh.
And the dog said, yes, it was scary, but, you know, at least they didn't have any vacuum cleaners.
Yes, that's...
So that was, like, oh, okay. That's
yeah, and at one point he says, I'm basically drowning in bitches.
Yes.
Talking about he's getting groupies because he killed the leader of ISIS.
Yeah, yeah. And at one point, I think somebody asked him about, like, a certain video that might be about them that might discredit them. It's like, yes, there is a video out there of me dressed as the chocolate lab.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. And it says, I don't see race. I don't see color. I mean, I'm literally colorblind. I don't see race.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So this one was pretty cute.
So it was good. Yeah. There's also a thing, another controversial thing is 10 years ago at a Halloween party, they dressed up as a cat. I didn't mean to appropriate cat culture.
Yeah.
And then the kicker is at the very end, we have Chris Redd as one of the soldiers who is also on that raid. And they were like, does anyone have any questions for him? And he's like, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, everybody's quiet. It's like, all right, thanks.
And that was a good kicker at the end. I enjoyed this. I mean, you have Cecily, you have dogs.
Cecily
what
and
more
dogs.
Do you need?
Sounds like Cecily and dogs need to have their own show at this point.
If they... just rebrand SNL as Cecily Strong Plays with Pups for 90 minutes.
Right.
I would be there for that. I would be totally cool with that.
We could even have a podcast where we talk about Cecily and dogs, like recapping the show.
Yes.
After every episode.
I would love that.
Wow.
That would be fun.
I think we're really onto something
here. Let's go all in with this. But
this is a moneymaker.
I was so excited that we suggested we should see more with Cecily and dogs, and then SNL,
lo and behold,
in very short order, they do a sketch with Cecily and a dog. Now, I don't know if that's coincidental. I feel like we should test this power.
Yes. What do we do with this power now? I
thought about this a little. I think we need to ask for something a little more specific, something that can't be coincidental.
Okay.
So here's what I thought of.
Hit me.
We have Kyle Mooney play Lou Zealand, who is the Muppet that throws the fish as boomerang.
That's so specific.
It can't be mistaken. If SNL does something, even just a quick cameo with Kyle Mooney as Lou Zealand. One of the most obscure Muppets.
So obscure. Goddamn.
Yeah.
That took me... I almost confused him with that one guy, Crazy Harold,
like the Mad Bomber.
Yeah,
yeah.
But no, Lou Zealand, he has the big Italian mustache.
Big Italian mustache. And he's in like a red outfit. And he's got the like a white collar.
Yeah,
one of those. I don't know what those collars are
called. Yeah, like the Bozo the Clown thing.
Yeah, they kind of zigzag up and down.
Yeah, yeah. And then he throws fish. Like, hey, everybody, I'm throwing fish.
But
yeah,
what
yeah.
I think that would be in Kyle's wheelhouse. I think he would be a very good Lou Zealand. Even just a cameo or something. Just a walk-on of Kyle Mooney as Lou Zealand. Like, he comes on in the monologue. Oh, sorry, Kyle, we cut the Lou Zealand sketch. Aw.
I like that because the odds of anybody else understanding that reference is very slim.
Right.
And so the fact that if they do that, then that'll be just for us two people.
That will be SNL saying, like, we hear you. We see you.
God damn. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing?
My heart's beating.
Wouldn't we freak out if they did that?
I'd cry. I'd weep. I'd vomit.
SNL, the ball is in your court.
That's all right.
Kyle as Lou Zealand. Let's make it happen.
Jesus, I don't know.
We should get a hashtag going.
Hashtag Kyle is Lou Zealand?
Yeah. Hashtag Kyle is Lou Zealand. Hashtag SNL nerds.
Holy Toledo.
Let's make this happen.
Man, let's do it, people.
This is going to go out Monday. We got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We got 5 days.
Let's start a movement.
Before next Saturday.
Let's start a movement, people.
Or no, wait. No, we've got 2 weeks because the show's off next week.
Yes, show's off next
week.
We've
got 2 weeks to make this happen.
Oh, man.
When the show comes back on the 16th with Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
We want to see Kyle as Lou Zealand.
Let's make a move. Let's make a movement, people.
Let's make a move.
We are Bosley.
Yes.
let's do this.
We're Bosley. We're the guy behind the scenes.
Yes.
Or the woman behind the scenes.
Yes. Anybody can be behind the scenes.
Because Bosley can be a man or a woman.
Yeah.
It's 2019.
Exactly. Bosley is a frame of mind.
There's opportunity for Bosleys out there.
Darn tootin'.
But I thought this was good. I thought this was like turning the night around a little bit.
I thought this
was really good. Next, we had a pre-tape called Corporate Nightmare, which was a music video with Kristen Stewart and Kyle and Pete Davidson and Mikey Day,
right.
And they're all sort of like punk type people.
Yeah, like skater boys.
Yeah, and they're working at a corporate area, and they start singing a song about how corporations, you know, you're selling out,
right.
And they want you to compromise who you are.
Yeah, kind of sound blah. Like it's kind of sound like a Sum 41 type of song, like that song Fat Lip. But
okay.
I had like a Sum 41 Good Charlotte type of vibe.
I thought their looks looked kind of like Green Day, though.
Yeah, I could see that. Green Day.
Yeah, Mikey looked a little like lead singer of Green Day.
Billy Joe's.
Yeah.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah, and Kyle looked eerily like one of the other guys in Green Day.
Mike Durnt.
Mike Durnt.
I was a big Green Day fan back in the side note.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a Green Day, My Chemical Romance type of vibe.
Yeah, they had the eyeliner, the guy liner, they had the ties and the sweaters and the turn on this was we had Kristen is she's bitching about how you have
like
to compromise
anti-establishment type of song, like,
right,
you know, screw the man.
And then in the middle, Beck as the boss is like, hey, you did a really good job on that last report, where you should consider going into the management training program, we could use someone like you on the third floor. And then she immediately gets less rebellious and she starts defending management
No, Tom's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I enjoyed this because it was just them gradually getting co-opted.
Yeah, very much so.
It was good stuff. This, I'm assuming, was a Good Neighbor thing because it was Kyle and Beck.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely had like a old Lonely Island type of vibe to it.
Yeah, but this I thought was Good Neighbor at their best. I thought this was great. It had a nice unexpected turn to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
I think this might have been Sketch of the Week for me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a good sketch.
Even over Cecily and the dogs.
Wow.
Yeah. Or dog, singular, I should say.
No, there was only one dog.
There was just one.
I know you want there to be a whole pound of puppies in there.
I know.
But it was just the one.
Maybe next time.
Dog Court Part 2.
Dog Court Part 2. Fingers crossed.
We could
stick Lou Zealand in that sketch.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was walking my dog and throwing fish. Is that how Lou Zealand talks?
That's kind of close,
right?
Actually.
Yeah, I got it.
That's not far off.
Well, hey. There you go.
That's not far off.
And then we had Coldplay come out.
We had Coldplay, the musical guest. They played their first song, Orphans. I really love the staging of this, man.
Yeah, it was interesting.
This was really cool. I don't think I've ever seen this on the show before. They started with Chris Martin in the hall.
Backstage.
Backstage. He's playing the song. And then he's walking down the hall. He walks into the audience. And he sits down with like a chunk of the audience. And then they're dancers.
They're choreographed dancers.
And they're holding up signs with the lyrics. And then he like goes up onto the stage. And they've got a screen behind him with the lyrics flashing behind him. I thought this was really great. This was really spectacular.
Yeah. It seems like more and more the musical acts are taking more and more risk with their performances. Like, I mean, we had the Billie Eilish and we had the Halsey. Like, it seems like they're trying to do more than just go up there, sing their song, and that's it.
They're doing a lot more technically challenging and technically impressive stuff. Yeah,
I'm all for it.
And this, I just thought it was such a simple thing, like starting out backstage and walking down the hall and then coming in and... I thought that was great. I thought that really gave a nice freshness to it. I thought it was a really good song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, are you a Coldplay fan or like so-so?
I was like a moderate Coldplay fan, but I really liked both the songs they did on the show last night, so I'm going to have to pick up this new album.
Wow, look at Coldplay won you over. Look at this. All right.
I dug it, man. I know it's kind of early in the season still. We're only on episode 5, but this may be my favorite musical performance of the season.
Really?
Definitely favorite so far, but I don't know if I'm going to see another musical performance this season that tops this.
Well, you got Harry Styles coming up in a few weeks, my friend.
That is true. I may be eating my words.
That's right.
In 2 weeks. Who knows?
You got Mr. Stidiles to deal with.
But I thought that was really good.
But yeah.
Their second song was Everyday Life, which was just more simple and stripped down.
Yeah.
Just the band playing, Chris Martin at the piano. But... I still liked it.
Yeah.
Dug it.
Yeah, that was right. I mean, I hate to say sound like that guy, but I do like their earlier stuff, like stuff off Parachute and Yellow and what was that? That Rush of Blood to the Head album, that song Clocks. I mean, I just like the song Clocks.
Where do you stand on Vita La Vida?
I kind of bailed out after around there. Okay. I don't know, just because they did this thing where they were going bigger and bigger and they basically wanted to be the next U2.
Yeah, I can see that.
Stadium, arena, rock type of stuff. And their stuff, I was like, I don't know. Like, you hear all their songs on in commercials, like Apple commercials and whatever. Like, around that time, I was like, I don't know if I'm connecting to this. But, I mean, I have that same... I feel the same way about a lot of bands I used to love. Like, I felt the same way about... I used to be big into, the Black Keys. And Kings of Leon, those albums, like their first albums, 2 or 3 albums,
and then they lost you.
Yeah, the time where you hear all the songs and Target commercials and whatnot, I was like, I don't know.
That can happen. Sometimes fans can get overexposed or they get too big for their britches.
Yeah,
too big for their own good.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and then their stuff just sounds didn't have the same grit or heart to it as you used to, and I'm like, eh.
I've had that happen a few times where it's like I was really into a band and then they just do one or two. Somebody I really, really loved was Liz Phair, and then she one of her albums, and it wasn't the self-titled one. That's probably the one everyone's thinking who's like a Liz Phair fan. I enjoyed that album. It was poppier. She did it with The Matrix, I think, but it was still good, and she got a solid hit or two out of that.
Okay.
But she did an album after that, and I can't remember the name of it, but I just heard a bit of it, and it was all techno and stuff. I just not like it at all, and I was just shit, I think I'm done with Liz Phair.
Yeah, it's sad when you hear an artist, you're like, oh, I used to love you, now you're just like...
Yeah.
Like, I feel the same way about Beck. Like, the new Beck album is so bad. It's called Colors.
Yeah.
Like, every song sounds like it's ready... for a commercial. Like, it's like, this is Packins are ready to be in the next Verizon or AT&T commercial.
Very slick.
Very slick. And yeah, and that's not what I liked about them in their early days. Like, I love Odelay and Midnight Vultures and, Sea Change and Mutations. Like, it was very kind of, it had a weird type of artsy vibe to it, but at the same time, it was still a little accessible. And now his new stuff is all totally slicked out, radio friendly, accessible. I'm like, ah.
You never know. It's it's a crapshoot. Maybe they'll do something that makes you come back and brings you back to the fold. And You're like, I'm a fan again.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I just hope so.
Yeah. Who knows? All right. But I enjoyed Coldplay on this episode.
Yeah, okay.
I thought they were good. I thought they were solid. So.
All right. Next up, weekend update. Let's bring this party back up.
Okay.
Weekend update, Jost and Chay.
Chay.
And basically, what did I write here? What did I write here? I write everything by hand. Basically, they were talking about, events of the day. They had this one joke about Rudy Giuliani. And they had one where I think it was talking about Giuliani and his phone.
He apparently, after he was named the technical advisor for the Trump administration, the tech security advisor, he locked himself out of his own phone. Because he gave the wrong password 10 times.
Right.
So he permanently locked himself out of his own phone. And there was a good line where it said, even Apple's Face ID can't recognize the man that Rudy has become.
That was a good line.
That was a good line.
I was like, all right, I'll give you that one, Jost.
Yeah, that was a pretty solid line.
They had some of the other correspondents come out. They had Riley Jensen, 5-year-old kid genius, played by Melissa.
Yes.
And Heidi played her mom.
She was like a stage mom.
Yeah.
Michael Che was asking her questions about this new plane.
Right, right.
And as it goes along, Michael asks a question that 5-year-old kid genius Riley Jensen is not prepared for. And She kind of awkwardly flustered.
Yeah, she gets flustered, and of course, the mom, played by Heidi, comes out like, "You're blowing it! What are you doing?"
Yeah, I'm canceling Ellen. If you can't handle Che, Ellen's going to eat you alive.
Yeah, very much so.
And then Michael quizzes her with flashcards, but she's so flustered, she's getting everything wrong. She identifies Earth as Saturn, and then Saturn is something else.
Yeah, and then, of course, it gets mom more and more upset, and he's like, "All right, I'm sending you to live with your dad."
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, he smokes.
This was good. This was a good new character.
Yeah,
I enjoyed this.
That's some good character work here by both Heidi and Melissa.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing this character again. Nice one to add to Melissa's repertoire there.
Absolutely. And there was one part where Che had a joke telling about the 67-year-old woman who gave birth.
Yes. He said she set a record for most friction. And then that got, I think, some groans. A
lot of groans.
And then he says, that joke took me 4 hours to write because NBC didn't want to do any of the other punchlines I liked better. And then he shares some of the other punchlines.
Then he shares the punchlines.
Which, I'm sure that was a bit of a device.
Yes.
I'm sure he wouldn't really say things that NBC hadn't approved of on the air.
Wouldn't NBC just bleep it out or something, or
I don't know. I don't know what they would do.
Said something that they really didn't want him to say, would they bleep it out, or I cut to commercial?
I'm just saying, I don't think he was really going off script. I think that was just the thing that he said for this. But he had the other lines as, hope that kid likes his milk chalky. He says, my favorite was a mom can breastfeed just by standing over the crib. And then he's like, but that's not disturbing. Here's the one that's disturbing. It was like pulling a penny out of a wad of gum.
Oh!
Which, that puts a picture in your mind, doesn't it?
I don't like pennies or gum now. I'm going to get rid of all my pennies and never chew gum.
Yeah, there you go.
Yikes.
So.
Then after that, we had AD and Kate come out as the Smokery Farm.
Vanetta and Wylene Starkey.
Yeah.
And then, the owners of Smokery Farms Meat Delivery Service. They came on talking about they were pushing meat because the Burger King Impossible Burger has become the big thing now.
Exactly.
So
I didn't have much to write about this one.
They were talking about people are going vegan now because they see videos of cute animals. And they promise that they're served meat from animals that are individually verified to be stupid, bad, rude, or talent-free.
Yes.
They did this once before where were pulling out, they had like these big baskets of meat, of various meats. And
actual meat.
Yeah, and we had Kate and AD breaking a little bit because the meats smelled really bad, or they smelled really strongly.
Foul odor.
And it hit them in an unexpected way, so they were breaking a bet. And it's a weird choice to have a sketch built on live TV, built around how something smells.
Yeah.
Because that's not something the audience can share in.
Or the audience, both the studio audience and the audience at home watching this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, all right, we'll take your word for it. It must smell, but...
Yeah, it was... I don't know if we needed to see these two characters back.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to do this a lot on SNL lately, where it's just like AD and Kate kind of anchoring a sketch, but the sketch like amuses them more than it amuses us.
Yeah,
and it seemed like a lot like that.
And I think that's something to watch out for.
Yeah. I mean, they did this like last episode with the where the commercial where the two of them were selling like prom wear, I believe it was, or like choir gear.
Yeah,
it seemed like the two of
show
them
choir,
show choir, gear. Yeah, and like they seemed to like be enjoying themselves and breaking a little bit, and everybody in the audience was like, oh. All right. I'm glad you guys are having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to watch out for. I mean, it's there is something to be said for performers having fun, and that fun can translate to the audience. But in these cases, it seems a little more self-indulgent.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, very much so.
So,
I could have done without this.
I could have done without it, too.
That's Weekend Update.
Next, we had Hungry Jury, which was a jury. They're deliberating. They're deadlocked. Kristen Stewart's the foreman. It was the first time we saw Bowen Yang and Ego in this.
Yeah, I think
week's episode.
Am I nuts, or was the entire cast in this sketch?
Well, you need 12 people for a jury, so
I guess you're right. So,
I thought it was weird how some of them were just like standing around instead of seated at the table.
Did they not have enough chairs?
But no. Well, I guess you just have to stage it so that you can see everybody, and nobody has their back to the camera. But it was still weird.
Yeah, it was. So basically, it's like a jury. They're in a deliberation room. They're deadlocked. There's implications that there's like race involved in this, where it's like, oh, you guys would have. You won't
see this. There were a couple of sides like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, but basically.
You wouldn't say that if he was white.
Yeah. So, for a minute, I thought that might be the angle. But then what happens is they've been in deliberation so long that they're getting hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and everybody's very hungry and to the point where people's stomachs start growling.
Yeah.
But it sounds like really like loud. Like,
and everybody's and different people's stomachs are growling.
Yeah, like it kind of sounded like the frogs from that old Budweiser commercial.
Oh yeah,
Budweiser.
Yeah,
yeah. So
that was like a Super Bowl commercial, I think.
Yeah, oh, it was a big deal back in the day.
It was.
So yeah, basically, what happens like people's stomach starts growling really loud, like and it keeps going like that to the point where people's stomach starts growling, and then it starts sounding like music.
Like, yeah, it's like a forming a backbeat.
Yeah, brah,
and then they start singing along to it.
Yeah, it's like, and soon enough, the stomach growling starts to sound like the opening to Pony by Genuine.
Oh, okay.
And to the point where people start singing, you know, I'm just a bachelor. Look at, like, brah, yeah. Brah, 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 brah.
So, Didn't really work for me.
Yeah, and like, of course, Bowen, the bailiff, comes in.
Yeah,
and he goes, "Oh, that's my jam!" And then it just ends with everybody singing "Pony" by Genuine.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah,
it was quick.
It was short.
There you go.
It did not overstay its welcome.
I did laugh when Bowen went, "Oh, that's my jam!" Like the way he did it made me laugh. But yeah, but as far as the sketch of the whole, I was like.
Didn't really work for me.
It seems like super simple, and it's just like, oh
yeah. It seemed like it was in there just to take up time more than anything.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Well, that was the thing.
Yeah. So
next up,
we had a proposition, which was we had Keenan and Ego as a couple. They're at a dance club in Baltimore, and they're like sort of a middle-aged couple, very suburban, and they were like, oh, we can't stay too late. We got to get to church in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was in Baltimore? They said that?
I think they said it was Baltimore, yeah.
Oh, all right.
I believe so.
Okay.
I thought that was relevant, so I wrote that down. Because, you know, at the beginning of the sketch, you don't know what's going to be important. You're just trying to write down all the relevant information.
Baltimore,
Oh, it's going to be all Baltimore jokes. Okay, I better be ready.
It's all going to be about The Wire.
I was in Baltimore a couple weeks ago. I am ready for this.
It's going to be about the Orioles. I got you.
And then we have Kristen Stewart coming up as a young lady approaching them, and she's trying to hook up with them.
Yeah.
She's trying to get something started.
Proposition them.
Propositioning them.
For an evening of... sultry sex.
And she says, like, she's pansexual, and this middle-aged couple, they're just not getting it. It's just going over their heads.
It's like, oh, pansexual. I mean, you have sex with pants?
Yeah. Oh, you know, what is that? This was a weird sketch.
It was
nice to see Ego have something more to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, and at the end of the sketch, like, Kristen Stewart leaves frustrated, like, she's not getting you know, not getting the response she wants from this couple.
Yeah.
And so she just leaves frustrated, and then they're like, I don't know what she was talking about. And as well, let's, you know, let's get time to get out here. Let's get our pig boy. And then Bo and Yang comes out dressed in leather.
Right.
And he, I guess he's like
S&M type gear.
Yeah, S&M type leather. And he's like their subservient.
Yeah.
It's like, here, you're a pig boy, aren't you? And like, yeah. And then that was it.
So it's like, yeah, they were freaks after all.
Yeah.
It was an interesting twist at the end. This one also just didn't do much for me.
Plus, I think Kristen Stewart, I mean, I don't know. She seemed to kind of drag the energy out of this one, like, because like just because she kind of like mumbles and like kind of slow talk,
she can be very low energy.
Yeah,
you know?
like Keenan and Ega were bringing up the energy, and she was like bringing down the energy, and it was just kind of
so like they were working at cross purposes.
Yeah, it felt like very awkward. I don't know. There was like an awkward energy throughout this whole thing. It was just like,
yeah,
it just did not work.
Okay.
I mean, well, I thought like Bowen at the end kind of.
Yeah, I liked that as a last gag. I don't think it really worked before that.
Yeah. No, it didn't. It was just like, I don't know. This isn't work. I don't know.
Yeah. So, but wrapping it up, we got stargazing, which was a stargazing hike. We had Mikey Day as the guide, Beck and Kristen Stewart as these two pervy astronomers. Astronomy buffs.
Astronomizers.
Yeah. But their characters, they kind of reminded me of the Lovers.
I wrote that down.
Yeah.
I was going to say that exact same thing.
Because they were like a pervy middle-aged couple. They were just, you know.
Right. For those that don't know the Lovers, it was just when Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch, right? They're like these kind of, this, you know, swinger couple that were always in hot tubs.
Would you like to join us in the hot tub?
Yeah. And they were like, oh.
Do you ever walk in the woods with your lover?
Yeah, and it was always like, and they would eat like, you know, chicken or something, and pieces of chicken would get caught in Will Ferrell's beard and in the hot tub, and they were trying to seduce whoever was in the hot tub. It was just kind of like.
And then Will Ferrell would try to make Jimmy Fallon break by touching him under the waterline.
Yeah, that it doesn't take much to make Jimmy Fallon.
No, that's.
He really did break in everything.
Fish in a barrel. Yeah, he did. That was what he did.
It was. Like,
he's a giggler.
Yeah, he's just...
He's a giggler, that one.
He's just on the laughing gas, that kid.
Yep.
But yeah, so anyway, with this sketch, it was Beck and Kristen Stewart playing like this older couple. Oh, look at the star. And there was actually some pretty impressive production in this
Again,
one, too.
Technically very impressive, because we have this whole sky behind them, which I'm assuming was like a green screen or some sort of computer thing, because they have like the constellations, and they're like drawing out the constellations from star to star.
Big Dipper, Little Dipper.
Right. And we have the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper 69ing. Like the Beck and Kristen were making every constellation into something pervy.
Yeah, like one would be like two people 69ing, one would be a man performing a cunnilingus on a woman.
If you want to get clinical, yes.
On a woman.
Yes.
Yes, you know, we're a classy podcast here, man. And then just it was all.
And
in the constellations, all they saw were just sex positions.
Right. And Scorpius was as they phrased it, a man trying to reach himself.
Yeah.
I will let you guys figure that out from there.
I guess they had to say that for standards and practices.
Yeah. They didn't even say 69ing. I was like,
no, they didn't.
Is that not allowed by
NBC
standards?
That's an actual number. Can
when
you
it's
not
like close to 1 a.m., we can't. I don't know.
69 is a number. It's
were
a
they,
real
Were
number.
They trying to be more clever with it? I don't know.
You could just say 68 plus 1.
Yeah, there you go.
Could that go?
There you go.
Or 70 minus 1.
It was kind of weird. Like halfway through the sketch, I was like, "Wouldn't this make more sense in a planetarium when you could actually physically draw?"
Yeah,
between stuff, it didn't have to be outside on a hike. But
I get, I don't know. This sketch kind of meandered a bit for me.
It was a weird one.
It was a weird. I mean, you know, this is the late at the back end. This is where the weird
this
ones
is
go.
10 to 1 land. Yeah,
this is where the weird ones go.
It's where you do the weird stuff.
Where the weird things are.
That's
but
right.
Even for this era, it was just like, I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah,
and that was the show.
Yeah, that was.
I thought
much
this
it.
Was an odd episode. It was a lot of highs and lows.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely fizzled out towards the end, and it. Yeah,
I think that all the strong stuff seemed to be around the middle, where we had
the C-SPAN Conan dog. Briefing.
Right. And we had the app talking to children.
Right.
And then we had the corporate nightmare.
Yeah.
I thought all those were pretty strong. I thought those were all solid.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And that's not a bad average, but I thought the rest was just kind of dire.
Yeah, like everything after Weekend Update was kind of... And even Weekend Update wasn't super strong.
Weekend Update was fine.
Yeah, but everything after Weekend Update was like, yeah. Oh boy.
And Elizabeth Warren opening wasn't bad, I thought.
I mean, just because it wasn't a Trump opening.
Yeah. you were just happy. Yay, not Trump.
Not Trump. Five stars. Five stars. Thank God. This is going to go into Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But yeah, like everything everything in the beginning was like, But then the middle part was like, oh. And then the end was, oh.
So I think if I was grading the show, it would literally look like a bell curve, you know?
Yes, very much so.
It starts out low, it peaks in the middle, and then it just bottoms out again.
Yeah, very much. And Kristen Stewart as a host, I feel like she did a better job her first time around. Because she just brings like this very low energy, like aloof awkwardness that like it didn't play well in a lot of the sketches. And like it, I don't know, like you have to have like a certain sketch for the energy she's bringing.
Yeah, and she brought kind of the same energy in most everything she did.
Yeah, very much so. Like, she didn't, like... Because, like, with a lot of other, like, hosts, like, they brought up things, like Phoebe Waller-Bridge or Momoa, like, or Sandra Oh. They were all seemed like they were game. They were all like, oh, they need me to be here, I will be here. I will bring the energy here.
Yeah.
But Kristen Stewart's like, my energy is right here, and you got to meet me here, and that's...
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I don't know.
It's just
my two cents.
Mixed bag this week.
Definitely a mixed bag.
I mean, would you want to see Kristen Stewart return?
No.
I'd be fine.
I'm cool with...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten our fill. We've seen what she can do.
I'm good.
Yeah.
No, thank you, please.
Yeah.
I'm A-okay.
If they're going to bring her back, wait a while. Wait a couple years.
Yeah. Or just figure out how to write a sketch around her oeuvre.
Yeah.
I didn't use that right.
You didn't, but I don't think you did.
I just want to say
a fancy
word.
But it's just fun to say oeuvre.
It is, right?
Yeah, oeuvre.
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 Oeuvre. All right, now we're just grossing.
Now we're just gargling.
Now we're just grossing people out.
Yeah.
But all right, and that was the episode.
That was the show.
Yeah. So it's going to be an off week next week. And should we talk about what we're going to be doing?
Well, we've gotten the word we're going to have a guest next week. The guest has confirmed with us, so I think we can say, right?
It is confirmed, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We have the one, the only, Selena Coppock coming in to the next episode.
Yay!
Comedian, a storyteller, fantastic actress, fantastic person.
Mm-hmm.
She's a huge SNL fan, so she's going to be nerding out. Like us. She's been to two tapings.
Uh-huh.
She's been to an after party, and she was just on a amazing, what would you call it? Panel thing?
Yeah, panel discussion.
Panel discussion where she interviewed Tina Fey at her alma mater at Hamilton College.
A one-on-one interview with Tina Fey. Like one-on-one discussion for an hour.
Yeah. And inside the actor's studio style discussion with the one and only Tina Fey.
That is amazing. I mean, so Selena's going to have some interesting stuff to tell us about.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to talk about all that. And we're going to talk about, we're going to discuss a movie, too, as well.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about a little film called Bridesmaids, as well.
I have heard of that.
Yeah.
I've heard that. It has a Kristen Wiig. It has the,
Rudolph, Maya Rudolph in it.
Maya Rudolph, yes. Another SNL, Melissa McCarthy. It was her big breakout.
Yeah.
Movie role.
Yeah.
That this is the movie that made Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Like after this movie, Melissa McCarthy was on the map.
Yeah. And it's got a favorite of mine, Wendy McClendon Lovey from Reno.
Reno 911 and the Goldbergs.
And the Goldbergs. Yeah. She's great.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, this was a big hit from 2011. We're fantastic fans of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't seen it in a few years. I haven't watched Bridesmaids in a few years, so it'll be interesting to revisit that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember really digging it when I saw it. So, yeah, it'll be good to go back and see what's what.
So we're looking forward to that. We're going to have some fun talk about that last week. Let's see if there's anything on the Twitter account.
Oh, yes. Let's go back to our Twitter handle.
You know, we did hear from our friends at SNL After Party. They had an interesting thought. I don't have the tweet up right now, but you remember last week I was talking about the Halloween special that they ran at 10.
Yes.
And it was all off. They were cutting off the sketches like just a few seconds in and going to commercial break and then coming back to the same sketch.
Yeah. I remember you talking about that.
they said it was very likely like an hour and a half or 2 hour special that they didn't like re-edit it for to put it in the hour time slot.
Oh.
And so like the timing of the commercials just wasn't working out. And I was like, okay, that sounds very plausible. Okay. So that's an explanation, but it's like it's still somebody was asleep at the switch there.
Yeah, like why would you air something? It's
that was really weird. Oh, you know, weird. Also there was a cut for time sketch that was this week that
I tweeted that out.
You retweeted it. I asked if you wanted to talk about it, and you said maybe we could.
Yeah, they put out this sketch where I believe Bowen Yang wrote it with a few other folks.
This was from last night's show.
It's called like it was basically a sketch about open mics in LA. So basically, it was like Bowen and Heidi hosting an open mic. And it's just basically like a lot of the stereotypes you see in the LA scene. Like Heidi, of course, comes from money. She's like related to one of the Koch brothers. And it's just like a lot of kind of tropes you see in the open mic scene. I mean, I dug it because, you know, as a comedian, I've seen some interesting things in open mics. And to see this in a sketch form, I thought it was a pretty great sketch. I actually thought it was pretty better than a lot of the stuff that they aired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really dug it. So, give that a look if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's worth checking out. I think that was definitely stronger than some of the stuff that made it to the final episode.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one's made, like, a short film about the open mic scene, because, like, you and I have seen some...
That's an interesting idea. Okay?
I mentioned that your eyes kind of went white from, like Vietnam flashbacks, like, I've seen some shit.
No,
horror.
I'm thinking that... If you do it right, that could be an interesting, the short film or something. Yeah,
yeah. All right, I'm putting it out there, people.
Maybe we should do that. We know some people who could help make this happen.
Yeah, there are some characters in the open mic scene.
Yes.
Who? Nelly?
Yeah.
It is some kind of something. And yeah, that's the podcast. Yeah. Oh, wait, actually, do we have any tweets from folks?
Manette Moratti, when I was tweeting, I was so excited about SNL doing a sketch with Cecily and Dogs. They said, also the word creep was mentioned in the cold open. Your prediction came true. I missed that, but if that's true, that is very exciting.
Okay. Oh, actually, we got a tweet here from Nick Storr.
Okay.
Saying, I didn't really like it. The dog sketch should have been the cold open.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
KS saying backpack was the only thing that made me chuckle. The hung jury sketch was the low point of the episode. Real mess of a sketch. Felt like bad improv. I thought Coldplay would have shown up in a sketch liking Ego. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's pretty. The hung jury, it was... I mean, it was just kind of... It didn't go anywhere. It's just like...
Nope.
Oh, yeah. We'll just all sing Pony by Genuine. It just seemed like... Yeah, it seemed aimless.
It did. And it really didn't work for me because I didn't know that song. Either.
You don't know Genuine Pony?
No. I don't think so.
I'm just a bachelor. It was in Magic Mike. It was everywhere.
I never saw Magic Mike.
It's actually a good movie, Magic Mike.
I don't doubt it. I just haven't seen it.
Okay. It's legit. Oh, by the way, I did see Broadcast News the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How did you like it?
I liked it quite a bit.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
Oh.
I don't know if I should have saved this for off the mic, but yeah, I'm just letting you know. I liked the...
No, it's nice that our listeners also get the update. Our viewers. There could be some people spying on us in the studio. We don't know. Probably hidden cameras in here.
Exactly. Big Brother's everywhere.
Yeah.
We're all under the public eye.
But
Also, Scott Hume tweeted us, the Kellyanne Conway sketch felt like a second cold open for the episode. Mm-hmm. It got me wondering if they had written two and couldn't decide which to use, so they kept both. Were you also waiting for Kate to turn to the camera and say, live from New York, or was it just me?
It's very possible.
Yeah.
That could have maybe been written as a cold open. I don't know if they would put a dog in the cold open.
That's risky.
That seems like something they wouldn't do, and they would put that a little deeper in the show.
But, right. Yeah.
But maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I could definitely see them opening with a Kellyanne Conway thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It did seem like, because they have done cold opens with this C-SPAN opening. So that's maybe why it felt like a cold open.
Yeah. But thank you for that comment, Scott. Hume, was it?
Yes,
yeah,
Scott Hume.
Yeah. I had a college roommate named Scott Hume. I believe this is the same one.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Okay, your buddy Scott Hume.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. Sorry.
I know Scott. I've known Scott since like 1990.
So. Oh, okay. I thought we had like a a stranger.
No. I just felt like busting Scott's chops a little bit. Good. Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Hey, Scott.
Love to Lori and the boys.
Oh boy. All right. So yes, and that's the episode, guys. If you wanna follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you can follow me at Darren Credible, DARIN Credible, Twitter, Instagram. Got a website, DarrenCredible.com.
All right. Any shows to plug this week?
Oh, actually, yeah.
No, too late. You missed your chance. Ha ha ha.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
November 20th, I'll be on Donna V's comedy show in Bloomfield, New Jersey at the Brookdale Tavern.
Sweet.
I think we got a pretty sweet lineup for that one. I believe Rich Carucci, friend of the show, Natty Bumper Car, another friend of the show, Kevin Joseph Garifo, and another friend of the show, KP Burke. They'll all be on that show in Bloomfield, New Jersey, November 20th. At the Brookdale Tavern.
Well, I'm going to have to come to that one.
Please do.
I know it like almost all of those people.
Oh, we'll leave that to you to decide. No,
there's one. We've got some unresolved stuff. But, you know, I'll go there and we'll work it out that night. So
yeah. Oh, that won't be awkward at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, and you can follow me at Trumbull Comic. That's TRUMBULL and the word comic. And then you can follow the show at SNL Nerds Show on Twitter. And please keep the comments and questions and stuff like that going. We love seeing those. And you can also review and rate the show on Apple Podcasts. Just look up SNL Nerds or wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah. And go to non-productive.com and listen to some of the other shows on the Non-Productive Network.
Yeah, we got a whole mess of them. We got the Honeymooners podcast. We got comic book podcast. We got the whole Magilla.
Yeah.
So just come on in and give us a rate and a like and spread the word.
Yes. Yes. And you can also there's also a Patreon on there that you can contribute to and help us keep the show going. Keep the lights on here in the studio.
Yes. Give us money, please.
Winter's coming. We need heat for the studio.
Yes. We don't want to. Yes. Winter is coming.
We don't want to be shivering in here with like barrels with flames coming out.
Yes.
Like
doing this podcast over a candle.
Right.
Or a big oil drum.
Right. An oil drum. That's what.
Take me back.
Right.
Do 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 do. Take me back.
All right.
That's from Rocky.
Okay. No, I was. You just started singing, and I was like, okay, we're close to the end of the show. We're going to have to like extend a little bit so you're not singing over our closing theme.
I see.
So.
Okay.
I just started thinking technically. I'm thinking about making things convenient for our producer, Frank Blauer.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank. So.
And on that note.
But please join. In the meantime, SNL is back. On November 16th with Harry Styles as the host and the musical guest. We are back next week. We're going to be talking about Bridesmaids, and we're going to be talking all with our friend Selena Kopic all about her SNL adventures.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. So please join us next week. And until then,
nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.